city's number one podcast. Love the topics, the guests, and all of the contrast. They ain't focused on the views and the traffic. What's the point of shining if no jewels for the masses? We gotta spread the news of our passion. Service is a verb, now that's community action. Yo, everybody, let's talk. Talking ain't enough, so everybody, let's walk. We all want freedom, the eagle and the stars, but the only way to reach it, meet the people where they are. Unity's the only way to fend these atrocities. You and me together can eliminate poverty. And this is just a vessel of expression to make sure we stay on the message of progression. Yes, everybody, let's talk. Bring your ideas and together we walk.
Protect our seeds from the poisonous root, and we gotta reach the source and the soul and the root.
Yes, everybody, let's talk. We need community action. Together we walk.
Together we work in to reduce violence. Speak through the airways, we refuse silence.
Let's talk.
Welcome back. You are listening to Let's Talk. More action. This is Cameron Minter. I'm your host, and my co-host back again is Sharon Price. Good morning, Sharon.
Cam, good morning.
How are you?
Good to be here.
It is a beautiful rainy day.
Well, you just messed that up because it is a rainy day.
Yes, it is a beautiful rainy day.
I wanted to sleep in this morning.
Oh, I'm still sleepy. I need to wake up right now.
You have a big weekend?
I did. We celebrated a good 5-year church anniversary. And I'm exhausted, but
you're exhausted, but it was great.
It was great. It was really nice. I enjoyed myself, but I'm so thankful that I'm back at work, ready to receive my meat pie. So,
dun, dun, dun.
I don't smell it, Sharon. Where's the meat pie,
Cameron? I know I made a promise to you
on air.
No less. I did, and I usually keep my promises.
Yes, you do.
But I don't have an excuse. But if I had ever gone in the kitchen this past weekend, I might have thought about it.
Oh, it was one of them weekends.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know, Cameron.
I get it.
I'm doing the best I can, Cameron.
I get it.
My intentions were there when I promised.
Okay,
it.
Well, when you go in the kitchen, there'll be a note that says Cam's meat pie.
And who's going to put the note in the kitchen? Cameron,
you got to put the note
point,
in the kitchen.
Okay.
You got to remind yourself now.
I need to revise my promise.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Yes, I need to revise it.
No, this is like playing cards. You know, you can't.
I won't take it back.
No.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it back, but I will say you will get them at some point.
Oh, okay.
Well, at some point.
That's better than not getting them at no point.
Well, that might happen too.
No,
I can see that happening.
Yeah, we're going to bring this up every week until we get the meat pies, and everybody's going to enjoy this conversation. And
I am not going to talk to you about it every week.
We're not going to talk about it every week? Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right, well, okay.
No.
I will talk about it when I get it. How about that?
Okay.
Listening audience, you will not hear about meat pies again until I am eating one.
Right,
and then I'm going to say how great it is. It was worth the wait. Now, I feel like, you know, there's all this excitement about the meat pie, and you know, you just got to live up to it now.
Listen, I'm doing the best I can. Cameron, I love food. I just don't like to prepare it.
But let me tell you.
That's where we are.
This all started when you went home a couple of years ago, and the pictures of the meat pies were just glorious.
Oh, and they were wonderful.
They were golden,
yes.
Brown.
The food.
I said, what is that?
It's great.
She said, a meat pie. I said, is it stuffed with just meat? And she was like, yeah. I was like, oh, yes. I'm down for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Cameron, I'm just going to tell you, the week before last, when I was in New Orleans, the food was the best.
I bet.
It was.
I'm trying to live vicariously through your trips home. So that's the whole point here. But We digress.
National Fair Housing Month, Cameron.
This month is National Fair Housing. You know, there's so many things going on this month, and we plan to celebrate them all, ain't that right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And today we have with us Art Crosby. He's the executive director of Lexington Fair Housing. Welcome, Art.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing this
month? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
What do you do at Lexington Fair Housing?
What do we do?
What do we do? Yeah.
We do a lot of everything. So we're a nonprofit that we operate throughout Kentucky, and our main mission is to help victims of housing discrimination. But as part of that, we get a lot of like just people saying, hey, my housing, it's not fair. I'm not being treated fair. We try to figure out what we can do to help.
And when you say fair, what does the law say? And then what do people say?
Right, right. So the law basically talks about, are you being discriminated against based on your race, your color, your gender, your national origin, that type of things. People, when they call us, though, they're talking about like, man, my landlord won't fix anything. They're charging me rent that's out of this world. They just raised up my cost. I can't afford to live here anymore. Those are the calls we get.
So is that an issue for fair housing when the landlord doesn't fix anything? And
so it depends, right? Like there's a couple of ways it could be, right? If you're fixing up all the white people's units and you're not fixing up the black people's units, that's going to be a problem with the law. There's also things that's called disparate impact. And if you're doing things that are going to have an impact on minorities or on single women or on disabled individuals, and it disparately impacts, you don't have a business reason for that. That can get you in trouble, too.
How many calls do you all get about fair housing issues in Lexington?
Yeah, we get probably, a good 20 or 30 a day of some sort of call. Not all stuff that we can help with. Sometimes it's just like you just listen.
Mm. And that's enough to help.
Sometimes that's enough to help.
Because I would say people want to vent to somebody
they
want to somebody to hear them out.
They do very much. And then, sometimes we'll have a call and somebody will be talking for 20 minutes about my landlord, the mold. I'm trying to get my kids, this. And then 20 minutes in, they'll, oh, yeah, by the way, he sexually harassed me. Right? Like it is just sometimes you have to listen to actually understand everything that's going on.
Wow.
Well, I read somewhere that the harassment calls there's 300 more documented calls in 2020 than there was in 2019. Did that have anything to do with COVID? What was that about?
I don't know. We have gotten an influx of sexual harassment calls, and mostly it's all the same kind of fact pattern. It's young women, sometimes with kids, but very vulnerable housing situation for whatever reason, right? They're desperate for housing, and you have older, we're talking usually 60 or 70-year-old men who are just using the opportunity to prey on people.
Wow.
So. Well, that almost had me stumped right there.
Right. That's different.
I didn't expect to hear that. Yep. What are some other things that may be a result of COVID that you may have seen increase, decrease?
Right. So a big thing we see with COVID is just a lot of lease non-renewals. We started to see that with the eviction, and there was a moratorium where you couldn't get evicted for not paying your rent, but landlords would just say, well, I'm not going to evict you for not paying your rent. I'm just not going to renew your lease. Sometimes it's legal. Sometimes it's perfectly legal. But sometimes there's a little bit of question about this tenant's been in here. We're seeing a bunch of this where a tenant's been in that home 20 years, right? That's their home. That's all they've ever known. Kids grew up there. Now, all of a sudden, 20 years in, they've been paying their rent on time. Just a notice. We're not going to rent you anymore.
Does that raise an eyebrow immediately?
Right. Like there's anytime landlords are making business decisions, that usually makes sense, right? Like, I'm going to raise the rent because I can make more rent. You can understand that. But when you're kicking out a tenant who's been there for a while and hasn't caused problems, sometimes you're like, well, is there something else going on that I'm not aware of?
And so speaking of raising the rent,
yes.
Have we seen a lot of raising of the rent since COVID and the housing crisis?
Right. And to be fair, it started before COVID, right? Okay. It's been 4 or 5 years where the rent has just been escalating to the point where people are just not able to live in the city where they work. And we're not talking about people who are working part-time. We're talking about people who are teachers, policemen, firefighters, nurses, right? They're getting priced out of the market.
I heard that like even on Georgetown Street, which is rent has gone up like $1,100, $1,500 on Georgetown Street, which is not like one of the prominent neighborhoods in Lexington, but if rent is going up there,
yep.
Then of course in some of the other areas is even more, and that's just
find a 2-bedroom under $1,000 is just really really tough right now.
Wow.
Well, I can tell you, I was looking at some of the data from the housing stabilization program, and I was shocked at how much people are paying for rent. It is just not affordable.
Right.
I don't know how they're doing it. Unless they're, doing what they have to do and then moving out whenever that option presents itself.
Yeah, and it just pushes the pressure down. So when your firefighters and your policemen and your nurses are having trouble, then they're renting a property that it's a little lower end than normal, and then that pushes the people who are living in those, and then eventually those people are just really out of luck.
Mm. So do you look at affordability as being a fair housing issue?
Sometimes it can be from an individual, but it certainly is from a systemic, right? A systemic idea of why does our city look like it looks? Who lives where? Is it something that's inclusive? Is it something where everybody has an opportunity to live in the community where they work? And that is a big fair housing issue, I think.
What are we going to do about it?
The city.
What do we do?
Right. The city does try, right? And it's not a unique problem to Lexington, right? Mm-hmm. It is a problem throughout Kentucky, throughout the nation. And the city has put money in. The city is putting more money into the Affordable Housing Trust Fund than they've ever done before. But there's no way we can build enough property to fight the demand that's out there right now.
And that's the tough part.
Yeah.
That's the tough part. I'm looking for a time whenever something stabilizes. Do you think that this is going to correct itself?
Please tell me it's going to come back.
I think so. I think the quick inflation of rent will stabilize at some point, but it will continue. Like, we don't have enough housing for all the people who need housing.
And it's crazy because, like, in my neighborhood, they're building everywhere. Houses are going up, apartments are going up, and when I'm looking, I'm like, where are these people coming from? But apparently there's plenty of demand, and we're just behind, I guess.
Yeah, we've been behind for 30 years. We've been behind, and it's catching up on us now.
And one of the concerns that we were having during the pandemic is, people not being able to afford their rent and getting evicted. And then there were measures that were taken, but now that's over. So now where are these people going who are possibly being evicted? And where will they find anything?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? And, you're looking at the homeless numbers, your shelter numbers. You're also looking at individuals who are lucky enough to get a Section 8 voucher, right?
So you do have a
voucher. You should be set because you've got the housing authorities going to chip in. Even if your income fluctuates, your rent should still get paid. Mm-hmm. Those individuals are having the hardest time I've seen trying to find a place where they can rent.
Yeah, I just saw on TV a young lady whose voucher is about to expire, and she's been looking and can't find it.
It's gonna be a hard find.
Yeah.
So Art, let me ask you, if somebody believes that they are being discriminated against or there's an issue with fair housing, what do they do? Where do they go?
They should call us. Google Fair Housing Lexington, you'll find us. And we'll see what we can do to help. But there's multiple levels of things we can do. Like, sometimes it's just reaching out to landlords and clearing up some communication issues, right? Mm-hmm. I think I owe this, I don't owe this, and we can help with that sometimes. Sometimes it elevates to filing complaints, sometimes it elevates to lawsuits, so there's just different levels.
And so I hear the music coming on. When we come back, we're going to talk about landlords, because there are good landlords and then there are landlords that are not so good. And so we want to talk about that. All right, we'll be right back after the break.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why don't you join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Community Action Council is here to help our neighbors recover from this pandemic and thrive. We are operating Lexington's Housing Stabilization Program and providing financial assistance to Fayette County residents facing the threat of eviction by helping them with past due or future rent and past due or future utility costs. The best and easiest way to access financial help is online. Type in COVID19RenterHelp.org, which links to Community Action Council's website. There you will find more detailed information about the program. To get started, simply click the button that says apply. There are some eligibility requirements, which are specified on the application online. Households must live in Fayette County and must be able to show or describe how they have been directly or indirectly impacted by COVID-19 and that they face eviction and homelessness because they are past due on monthly rent. The very best thing you can do is to fill out the application that is linked on the website. Once your application is processed, someone will reach out to you using the contact information that you provide. Community Action Council has been and will continue to be here to help our community thrive.
Community Action Council Prep Academies offer free early childhood education and comprehensive services to children birth to 5 years old and their families. This school year, parents and families can choose the Head Start learning option that best fits the need of their child and family, whether it's virtual or with their Head Start program or in-person learning. The choice is yours. To enroll your child in one of their Prep Academies or in Head Start at home, call the Community Action Council today at 859-233-4600 or by going online at commacition.org. That's ComAction.
Welcome back to Let's Talk More Action. Today we're talking with Art Crosby, and we're celebrating or acknowledging Fair Housing Month.
Yep.
So, Art, I got a quick question. Now, if I have an issue and I contact you all, what should I expect? I mean, y'all going to fix it in 7 days? Or
it depends. You should expect that you should be able to reach us either online or by phone. Sometimes if you call by phone, you might have to leave a message, but we'll try to, you know, somebody should get back to you. We should be having a real life person interacting, talking with you. You should be expect that we hear your story, listen to you out, and see what we can do to help. If it's something where we can intervene on, there are some where I can contact a landlord, and in a couple hours we get things fixed or resolved. Sometimes it doesn't work like that. I've got cases that are open 10 years sometimes. It just depends.
Wow.
10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I probably would have given up after year one. I've got to find something else or, you know, go in a different direction. But when we're talking about landlords,
right,
and especially with everything that has gone on, you know, over the last couple of years, a lot of people are thinking that landlords are the bad guys.
See, landlords are the good guys because they're the ones providing homes to our people. Mm-hmm. But landlords, just like everything else, comes in all different shapes, sizes,
right,
and varieties. One of the issues we are starting to see is that more and more, like, corporations are out-of-town corporations will buy up property and then have somebody else run it, right? So you don't even have the person who owns the property live in the community. And that does have an impact, right? Our ability to reach out or resolve things, mm-hmm, it's just not the same. But when you have a landlord, like, we're looking for landlords who want to make money off the property. Because if you want to make money off the property, you're going to put tenants in, you're going to keep the property up, you're going to put money back into the property, you're going to maintain your asset. We have a little more problems with the ones who don't really care what happens to their asset, right? They're just going to collect rent, kick people out, put more people in. Those tend not to be as good.
That revolving,
yeah,
that kind of revolving door. What kind of penalties are out there for landlords or whomever violate fair housing laws?
Right. So if you violate fair housing, you know, it just depends. But, you know, there's lawsuit, your attorney fees, you can pay our attorney fees, you can pay the emotional damage, you can pay the cost it takes for a person to find new housing, civil penalties, $10,000 can increase, right? Like, there was a sexual harassment case that we just settled with the Department of Justice handled, and that was like $230,000. So there can be really, really large penalties. And then there can also just be like, let's just get this thing fixed and move on. So it just depends.
Well, that is pretty substantial. I wasn't thinking, you know, that it could be a large sum like that, right, you know, but I guess it would depend on what happened.
Depends on what happens.
Let me ask you, does gentrification play any role in this housing crisis for affordability that we're finding now?
It absolutely does. And it's a difficult thing because we want to improve neighborhoods, right? And we do want to improve neighborhoods, but we also have to be careful about unintentional consequences. So how do you improve neighborhoods in ways that doesn't just displace everybody who was living there? And especially when we're talking about our communities of color or people who've been in areas for years and years and just have multi-generation connections to an area, like, those are things you want to protect and promote. So I think what we have to figure out is it's not just about putting more money into a community and trying to watch it thrive, it's intentionally putting money into it that helps the residents who are there.
And so when you put the money in to help the residents that are there, doesn't that increase the value, which increases the cost?
It can, right? One of the big things we see is you start putting money into an area, and then all of a sudden the rents do go through the roof. And people, we're worried a lot about the homeowners, but a lot of time it's the renters who are impacted by, mm-hmm, that. And they're like, we just were talking about, not just, oh, we're not talking about gentrification and pushing you out of a neighborhood at this point. We're talking about gentrification pushing out of the whole city, right? You just can't even afford to live in Lexington anymore.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy to me. Because I know we've talked a lot about gentrification with PG Peoples and, you know, some other folks. And so we always want to increase, you know, and I guess built up neighborhoods, but how, you know, what do we do? What can we put in place that keeps it balanced?
Yeah, and there's no one easy answer to gentrification because there's just all kinds of market forces that are pushing things in different ways. So anybody who just says, well, if we can do this, it'll take care of the problem, that's not right. Just, but again, you can be intentional and you can figure out what it is and listen to the residents and figure it out what it is that they need, trying to maintain, you know, the whole community.
Well, and in maintaining the whole community, then one of the things that Dr. Grigsby said many years ago that stuck with me, she said, housing is a healthcare issue. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's not just a healthcare issue. It's an employment issue. It's a transportation issue. It is a maybe primarily an education issue, right? Where you go to school is often dependent upon where you live. And we know, like, that's just... it's things like that that cycle through generation after generation, that where your parents live depends on where you live, depends on where you work, depends on what school you go to. It all just ties in.
When you look into your crystal ball, I like to, and wave your magic wand. If you could do that, what would you change to make things kind of all work together?
I don't know. I think anybody with our segregation issue in Lexington, right? And the same segregation, I don't think there's any one thing you can change that would fix everything. And in fact, I think we're at the point, if in my job, if I could eliminate all intentional discrimination, right? Stopped everybody from intentionally discriminating. I don't think it would have a huge impact because of all the legacy of stuff that we've put into place already.
Right.
I think it's one of those things. Yeah. We've been playing, like, there's this Monopoly game and everybody else has been playing for like 20 rounds. And then you let some new people, okay, you can play now. And you say, well, the rules are the same for everybody. It's not the same game though. Mm-hmm. It's not the same game.
My money doesn't match your old money.
Well, when somebody else owns all the property and owns all the houses, to say, well, you got your $200, start off, see how well you do. You're not going to do well.
Right.
And so, Art, if you had to give advice about fair housing, affordable housing, anything, wherever you want to take it, what would you give folks that are listening?
I think you have to be intentional and you have to talk with the people who are affected, right? Like, so much of our policy comes from up above and sometimes good-hearted and, you know, well-intentioned, but it doesn't always play out like we'd want it to.
Well, those unintended consequences. Right. Sometimes you don't see it through. I remember talking to you about an issue. We're like, oh, we're doing this great thing. We didn't consider this, you know, the negative impact on it.
But I do feel like, you know, we are before in the past, I think we were so focused on home ownership and that's where your homes are, as opposed to understanding homes are actually people renting homes. Those are their homes, too. And I think we are starting to shift that idea some. So that's positive.
Instead of just thinking, okay, you're just a renter. No, this is somebody's home. If you've been there for even if 5 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
My dad's been renting his apartment for 30 years. It's as much his house, his home, as the place I'm staying at.
Oh, absolutely. And you wouldn't be able to tell him any different.
Right.
But if someone came in and said, "Hey, you can't live here anymore."
Right. To give him 7-day notice and say you got to leave is just it's. I mean, any of us, somebody telling you have to leave in 7 days would be really, really difficult.
Right. Is there a time frame for if you believe you have been discriminated against? Is there a time frame that you need to move and act before it's null and void?
Yeah, there's like a 1-year statute of limitations where we can file administratively. 2 years with the courts. Usually, we get stuff before then. If somebody's felt like they've done wrong, they'll usually reach out to you.
Okay, good.
So people don't really sit on it. If they think that they've been done wrong, they're going to pick up the phone.
Well, yeah, I guess because if your life is about to change, you got to step out and reach out to everybody, I guess, right?
Yeah. But, you know, again, like I said, sometimes what you think might, people will not always understand, especially people who are used to the system kind of grinding you down. You don't always understand what is legal and what isn't. That's kind of, sometimes we don't do anything other than just saying, yeah, this is going to happen to you. This is how the system's going to play out. Just be prepared for it.
And you think explaining to people what the process is, what they can expect, do you think that's helpful?
Yeah, with evictions so much, like, for example, people go and say, my landlord hasn't fixed anything, and I just want to go to eviction court so I can go explain to the judge how my landlord hasn't done anything to maintain the property. And what we'll tell them is, like, you go to eviction court, you didn't pay your rent, you're going to get evicted. And
that's what's going to happen.
They don't care what the landlord did or did not do on their end of the contract. If you didn't pay your rent, you're going to wind up getting evicted. So you need to be prepared for that.
Mm. Are they prepared for that? Or so, does that back off? Do they back off after they know the ramifications?
It depends. A little of everything.
So let me ask you this. In Lexington, do we see, or is there a lot of substandard housing that people are living in that they shouldn't be living in?
There is. There's absolutely. And there's this difficult choice people have to make. So somebody will call me and my unit's in horrible, horrible shape. And I will say, you can call code enforcement. They might come and condemn it, and you might be out of your place to live.
Then you have nowhere. Yeah.
In that place that you were paying $400 or $500 for, because
right.
it was substandard, you're not going to be able to find another unit for that amount.
Right. That's awful.
That just seems like a tough situation to be in, and I don't like the answer.
It's not a good answer. Mm. But right now, the best I can do is just let you know where you're at. I'm not going to be able to fix the problem, but we can just tell you what to expect.
That's right, because even if you're staying somewhere where, you know, you probably shouldn't be, that's better than
maybe.
You got a spot sometimes.
People can make their decision, but that's, you know, hopefully there'll be better answers coming down the road. We just don't have them yet.
Well, I certainly don't like that answer. It made me feel right. bad inside.
You have to make choices like that. Yeah, you can feel hopeless. You can feel like, you know, maybe I, you know, what can you do?
Well, but you know, it made my heart sink for a second just thinking that about some of the decisions that people have to make.
Absolutely.
You know, and if it made me feel that way, I'm just wondering.
Right. And then you factor that out, right? Like you got a kid in school who you're going to get relocated. You have to find another place, how that impacts the whole school system and how that kid's going to impact the rest of that classroom. Mm-hmm. It's all that systemic stuff that's baked into our system.
What can volunteers, regular people that might be listening to this thinking, gosh, I didn't like what I heard. What can they do?
A couple of things. One with our stuff. So one of the things our office does is we'll do testing. So just to see if people are being treated differently, right? So we are using testers. If somebody's interested in testing, they should contact us. But, you know, why African-American? You're treated different by that landlord. So that's one thing they can do. Another thing, I think, like just getting active with housing issues on the table is something that people can do. Having interaction with your local council member, just explaining how housing issues do impact the community.
You think we're going to need more money to help get it done?
I think we always need more money, but it's not just about the money.
Right. I know we've talked about all of that systemic stuff.
Right.
That plays in there. And undoing is hard.
Right.
Especially when you've had generations, you know, of things stacking on top and intertwining. Undoing it is hard.
It is hard. But it is work that we have to do.
All right. You heard it from Art Crosby with Lexington Fair Housing. It is work that we have to do. Thanks for being on the show today, Art.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. We wish you all well. All right. You heard it. Get out there, protect your rights, and thank you for listening to Lex Talk. More action.